close to heaven.
Ray Garvey, picture this. Somewhere close to heaven. Yay, that's where I am right now. And Maurice Misolowski is in Melbourne. How are you?
Very, very good. I don't know if we're close to heaven, but not bad. It's blue skies. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Happy Tuesday to you. I got into your all-new super... You're on a roll here, aren't you? You're totally done-up website this morning. And I found an interesting article about whether we should care about AI billionaires. Well, that's what I read from it anyway. What do you got?
Yeah, basically. Well, thank you. The website is Schmick, for those who haven't had a look.
It's great.
Yeah, it's morrismizzle.com.
Yeah. Stop. Have we changed? No more Morris.
Have we changed?
No more Morris Futurist, or does it redirect?
Oh, no, it redirects.
Good.
You can go from whichever direction you want. It all leads you back to where it needs to be.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, the two things on his agenda today is this, and then we've got a bit about Apple, and somehow they do kind of link in, Morris. So fill us in.
Well, both billionaires, both trillionaires, worth lots and lots of money. So one of the things that many humans like, I don't mind occasionally, is a good old who's a billionaire list. You know, those poor impoverished people that are down to the last billion, trillion dollars.
Less and less these days, I would say. However, do continue.
yeah, pretty much me too. The billionaires are the new millionaires type of thing. But it's for me, it's a fascinating insight, not into who they are and not what they're wearing or what they're driving or the super yachts. But I really like to see where the money's come from. And for me, it is almost hindsight, because obviously if they're billionaires, it means that they've made money already. So whatever they did was of value to somebody a little while ago.
And the scary thing is, it was before AI, and people like us are going, what exactly did you do? And of course, was it legal?
Yeah, pretty much. And parents are screaming, can't you get a real job? I mean, you know, why are you doing that stuff in the dark? And of course, what they're doing is programming and all the rest of it. So there is a new list of the world's newest billionaires that came out earlier this week. And I had a good old roared at them, trying to figure out, you know, why should we care? And apart from the industries, and to me, they said, that's the important part. What are the industries that are creating yesterday's billionaires, but today's products and the things that are changing our world?
It's interesting, is it, that essentially they are just doing what they do, but it just so happens that what they do is a squillion billion-dollar industry.
Well, what they do can become that, and that to me is really a lot of this bottom-line stuff too. Most of them, no surprise to anyone, you know, have those wonderful two initials in them of AI somehow, somewhere. They are predecessors to it, as you said, absolutely right. It's not as if they came up with these ideas yesterday or last week. Some of them go back 10 years or more to when that word didn't exist mainstream. Some of them are only a couple of years old. But they have become important. And what happens is, and this we're seeing more and more of, there used to be a day, maybe 10, 15 years ago, where it was a unicorn. A unicorn was a business that was really, really unusual. There weren't many of them, and it was a business that was capitalized at $1 billion, a business that was capitalized at $1 billion. WhatsApp, you know, a lot of the businesses that we know today were unicorns, and that was a big thing to become. Today, it's almost a yawn. You know, who cares if the business is worth $1 billion? The owners have to be. And that's what's happened to a lot of these people.
And the silence here is where I started. I'm like, it's all very well to sound sort of jealous and grumpy, but why should we care?
Well, we should only care because what they've done is to be bought out or to have money or whatever given to them by other really large companies. That's what it comes down to. The only people that can afford to pay for billionaires are trillionaires. So what we're seeing is really where are the big bets being placed in all of the big industries? What are people willing to invest in, to buy in, to want new technologies of, or people to do new things? And why we need to care about that is because they're making decisions about our life even if we don't know it. They may not be directly talking about Phil and Morris when they're doing it, but they're talking about the things we're going to eat, the things we're going to drive in, the things we're going to live in, you know, the way we're going to communicate. All of those things are being decided for us by these billionaires and the people who are buying into them and making them billionaires, because they're saying, this is really, really important to the world. I'm going to put a lot of time, money and energy into it, and we believe the world will sit up and take notice of it. That's why I think that we do have to take a little bit of notice ourselves, just to understand where we're being nudged and pushed in what direction.
You do bring us down to earth a couple of paras in, where you say this isn't a billionaire list, it's a future map. There, it does make more sense when you say that.
Yeah. And that, to me, is all that matters. What we're seeing is the signposts, as I call them, of what's likely to happen. So for the company names, and I'm not supposing they'll mean a lot because they don't mean a lot to me, but the company names that will become known to all of us, I think, in the next couple of years are things like CoreWeave. Now, CoreWeave is a company that, again, here's a word that most of us are not using but will, who are very, very big into GPU, the initials. What the hell is GPU? But what it means is, or what it stands for, is the advanced chips powering AI. This AI thing requires a whole lot of new little machines inside the computer that makes it go really, really quickly. Right. And that's a company that has widgets. Been able to build those. The widgets. I mean, they're the, you know, they're the old motherboards and things as we used to call them.
Yeah.
But they're absolutely on steroids, you know, to the nth degree. This company called CoreWeave has been able to produce a set of GPUs, as they're called, that can make these machines that run AI work really, really well.
Yep.
There's another company called Figure, and that's has a whole lot of humanoid robotics, which is beginning to become really important. Elon Musk has bet not on Figure, but on his own company to do a similar thing. Perplexity, that some of us may have heard of, which is the new AI search engine that's riding along.
I want to ask you about that, because that version is one, that's one that even I know. And at the moment, it boasts that it brings in, you know, Google info and stuff. It bases itself, or it did last week when I checked it. It bases itself on a conventional internet search. That's probably why I've heard of it.
Yeah, so Perplexity's become kind of like the bridge between what we're used to in Google or Netscape or whatever it was, depending how far back we go, Brave or whatever else we're using, into the next realm of using AI. So it's kind of, when you and I get to the screen, it's kind of like using a search engine, but what it gives back to you is so much more. But the interaction is the same. Now, that's taken on a whole new life, Perplexity. It's become a ChatGPT cohort thing that everybody wants to go over instead of it. So that's made a lot of money lately. There's Anthropic and DeepSeek. These are all part of this billionaire list. These are the companies they own.
And again, Morris, a little thing about DeepSeek. The one thing I found about this is it's a real workhorse. It doesn't give you limits.
No, you can go on forever and ever. You're right.
You can give it huge, great bunches of data and stuff. So, and when other guys put a limit on you.
Yeah, and that's why it's become really important, because what it's able to do, it's referred to as a massive AI system, as you said absolutely rightly. This thing, you know, think about a pool that we might jump into. It's 6 or 7 feet deep, a meter, 2 meters, whatever you're swimming in. Yep. This seems to have no bottom. It's like an ocean. It just is vast, and you can do all kinds of things inside.
Which is useful if you're under the gun a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you're not, because as you said, you're not stopped at a limit. You can actually dump in as much information as you want, much research, as much questions and whatever. So that's doing lots of interesting things. There are all sorts of companies around. OpenAI, the originators of OpenAI, which is ChatGPT's parent company, three of those people, Dario Amodei, Ilya Sutskever and Mirya Murati, have all become, guess what, billionaires, not on companies they founded out of that. And we're starting to see the beginnings of what might be into tomorrow's landscape. For me, there were some disappointments. The disappointments weren't so much around, you know, what they're doing, but it's very, very narrow. I mean, the world is absolutely narrow in this list. Also, it's very narrow in the fact that all of them either come from China or from America. That's it. There's no Europe. There's no Global South. There's no Australia, Africa. There's nothing. I mean, apart from those two continents, there isn't another billionaire on the horizon coming out of it. Now, that's important, not important. Again, it goes towards the shaping of the future, that both of those countries are wonderful and terrific, but they both come with culture. And, of course, anyone that lives in that culture kind of makes their products and services fit what they're most used to. Not bad. Absolutely not a bad thing, but it's what happens. So it's like watching American TV. We all grew up on a diet of American TV for 40, 50 years. You kind of sound American even if you've never been there. That's my concern with this. We might all end up sounding, you know, like the American movie type thing, because we're so deep into what these two continents and their cultures have taught these providers. Not good, not bad, just need to be aware of it.
I'm wondering how much we're going to see a sort of deja vu from when somebody comes up with an idea and somebody else either borrows, steals, develops it, and the originator just, you know, meh, whatever. Obviously, you know, Tesla is a very obvious one, and Edison. And then even recently, when you think of, you know, Martin Eberhard and Mark Tarpening with Tesla, I mean, Musk's the one who gets the fame, but these are the guys that built it. I wonder if we're going to see that happen a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, without doubt, I can't tell you, I can't give you a chapter and verse of Elizabeth, absolutely, because every period in history's been, you know, been led by the P.T. Barnum of its time.
the inventors are usually the nice guys.
Yeah.
And Sideshow Bob comes in and gets famous.
Yeah. So P.T. Barnum's out there spruiking this thing as if he invented it, but everybody else is out there with their shovel getting rid of the stuff that the horses and the cows put down in between. Mm. And that's basically what happens in a lot of these. I'm not saying that, I don't know that to be true of these people, but I'm imagining you're absolutely right. History's towards that over and over again.
Mm.
I'm also concerned, and I kind of get why, but I'm concerned, which I talk about in this article too, that these are wonderful inventions. Do we need them? We'll figure out. But we think we do, and we think we do because we've given them a lot of money to say that's terrific. We think it's worth it. But there's nothing around education. There's nothing around healthcare. There's nothing around sustainability. It's all very, very, very narrow in this
bit. Well, surely they would argue that it can be around health and education.
It can be, but that's using their tools. But what I would love to see is some kind of huge leap. So, yes, we'll use their tools and we'll do terrific things in all of those areas.
Mm.
But education hasn't been brought forward. So no one's had a good look at it and say, I don't care what's been done before. This is how we're going to do it now. You know, here's a supercharged version of it. Healthcare. We are on the horizon of doing such incredible, wonderful things around healthcare. We just need that almighty push into it. And we're spending money on these things. Again, not bad or good, but I kind of like to see a billionaire or two just playing in this stuff and not with boys' toys.
He does get into this, of course, in a little bit more detail in the article. And what Morris has written here is no billionaires from education AI, as we just said. Why is teaching and learning not yet monetized? And the other one, no billionaires in healthcare, as you've just said. Now, my question here, is that just a coincidence? I mean, it could be.
No, I don't think it is, and that's my concern. My concern is that you can become very wealthy on education, very wealthy on health, but I'm not sure if you can become a billionaire. I know there are lots of health companies out there, people that make all that kind of stuff, but I just don't know whether the world will pay billions of dollars for healthcare on its own. I hope they will. I think that they might down the track because baby boomers like me are desperate for things to keep us alive forever. So those kinds of things, we'll certainly see them. We just don't yet. We're putting too much emphasis, I think, on technology, and that's strange for me to say, but I hope it isn't. We just need to get a balance of some human stuff in these billionaires. Where is the human-centric stuff? That's what I'd like to
say. So in order to go forward, we need people with slightly off-kilter, ethical barometers. Basically.
Well, or more on kilter because they're technology and that's what the world wants and the world will use that money to do better things with. And I'm sure all of these people will because most of the billionaires of today, Elon and his mates and Zuckerberg and the rest of them have used their money for great use. We talk a lot about them and other people that have done it. Bill Gates is a good example of philanthropy. They do use their wealth for good causes. Could you imagine if we could put $1 billion into research for cancer or for something else?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. I mean, I'm wondering if they're all in the honeymoon period now, and perhaps in the next five, we might see some cracking developments using all this stuff in the area of health.
Yeah, we will, and we will use it for that. But again, I want us to get beyond just using these tools that people have invented and actually rethink the whole thing. Education is another great example. It's one of my hobby horses.
We
are lucky where you are and where I am, that our kids receive a moderate to excellent education. But there's a vast majority of the world's children who don't have ready access to it. Again, $1 billion or even $500 million could really change the nature of it. And we can't do it with classrooms, I don't think. We can't do it with teachers in the way that we did before. I mean, a lot of these developing nations, we just physically can't put those assets in place quickly. But we could use technology and other things to provide the same outcomes to them. I just, would like to see us do more around that.
As always, stuff to really get you thinking there. I mean, you can still go to morrisfuturist.com and find his blog. So we've got a few minutes left. I want to talk about small technology. Apple's about to, tantalise us again, I think.
Yeah, so this is the annual thing. We'll be late this year because usually we talk about it on a Tuesday, but it's not coming out till 1 o'clock in the morning my time tomorrow. So we will have to wait till next week to see what is happening.
But
this is the annual September announcement where they bring out a lot of their new shiny toys. There will be another one just to confuse everybody in October, which is for Apple Macs. There was one we talked about 4 months ago, which is for software. This is when the new iPhone gets released, iPhone 17. So sometime tomorrow morning when everyone wakes up, Santa will have arrived with a new bag of iPhone toys. We believe that, we're pretty sure it'll be iPhone 17, meaning that sometimes they've just stopped the number and they've gone to 16B or whatever else and brought it back. This seems to be that. There will not be the Plus version this year, we're told. The Plus version was the base model. There will be an Air version, which falls in with the rest of the Mac range. In other words, it will have its own little nuances of things. It'll be thinner and quicker and more expensive. So
what's my yearly question, Morris?
Absolutely. Faster, thinner, quicker. It has to be that.
Now, my usual question is, are they going to put the headphone orbs back?
No, get over it. It's gone.
So what we're going to
see are those things. We're likely to see a whole lot, or as the usual things with iPhone, there'll be three or four in the range, plus this new Air one. You can bet your bottom dollar that there'll be better cameras, as we said, better batteries. It's always better in something else afterwards. The Apple Watch is in desperate need of an upgrade, and we will see, we're told, three versions. A Series 11 will come out, and that one will have the blood pressure on it built in. There'll be the Watch Ultra 3, we're told, which is the first time in a couple of years. So it hasn't had an upgrade for a couple of years, the Ultra 3 version.
All right.
And the Watch SE, which is the base version, still expensive. We call them base, but it still takes a lot of moolah.
Has Apple sort of got to the bringing sand to the beach level yet? Especially when it comes to the phones.
Yes, but this one that we're talking about is pretty much that. And the last one in those is AirPods. Now, what you're asking is really about, is there something new? And we believe that will come in October.
Okay.
So in October, we believe...
Brilliant forward sellers, aren't they?
Oh, they are, because they kind of stage it. As I said, it's obvious that they have these three events a year and what they do with them. We just don't know the toys exactly. So the next one, somewhere around end of October, early November, we're expecting the new Apple TV 4K. There'll be a HomePod Mini, which will be a brand new product for them. It'll be a base unit that will allow you to control your home like Amazon has and like Google has, but they haven't had yet. AirTags, we're likely to get an upgrade in end of October as well. Okay. And we're likely to see most probably an iPad Pro.
I'll tell you what people have been asking for, Morris.
Yeah.
Tags for pets, not big, great big clunky ones, but small ones
that
work.
Yes. And I don't know whether Apple will do it, but I have seen them online by other people. Yeah, and they put them on their collar.
Little ones, though, because you don't want to like...
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that you can get them online. I don't know the brand, but I have seen them before. And I know that some people do put them on the Apple. I heard a really silly one. Some people are putting them into their shoes, into the kids' shoes.
Right.
When they go to school so they can follow them around. Don't know why, but there was some silly rumor about that the other week.
All right. Well, look, I'll tell you what. We can pick up on all of that next week. I'm sure, because I can tell you've got your yada, yada, yada voice on. You're not really too excited about the whole thing. But we'll catch up on that next week. Meantime, do check out the rest of that article. Fascinating stuff. MorrisFuturist.com and go to his blog. Take care, man. I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, have a great week.
Bye-bye for now. Lovely to chat.